Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, in part two of our interview with Judy Batts legend Jeff Heiskell, Jeff reveals...
But some of it's kind of trashy. It's fine.
Welcome back to Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Randall Brown, your guest host for part two of our chat with Jeff Heiskell, lead singer of the Judy Batts, who now has his own several solo albums out. His latest is Songs in the Key of H. Jeff joined me on the unexpectedly noisy patio at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in Knoxville, where we chatted about the old days and the new days and all kinds of stuff. Didn't want to spend too much time on the Judy Batts before we talked about your current recordings, but moving through the era of the Judy Batts until the Judy Batts disbanded or whatnot, how did that arc go of being on the major label and then putting out a few albums?
It was a lark, and it was fun the first year. The second year it became a little bit more like work. The third year it was work, and I was already turning sour against it.
Yeah.
You know, having a real existential crisis with the whole thing. Like, my entire life revolved around trying to write a 3-minute pop song.
Yeah.
That would make frat boys and sorority girls jump up and down for a little bit.
Yeah.
Once I took that kind of viewpoint of it, it was completely all downhill from there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my mother was so enamored by it all. And, you know, I had all these people that depended on me. I stayed with it longer than I should have.
Yeah.
It was an awful day when I realized that I was so miserable and mentally ill that I had to stop doing it. Because it was letting everyone down for me, you know.
Yeah.
It was jobs. I mean, it was jobs. I was a singer. I was never completely comfortable being the point person and the front person to begin with. But, you know, when I dissolved that, I mean, all these people had to find something else to do.
Yeah.
And myself, my identity had gotten too wrapped up in it. And I had to find something to do, suddenly.
What did you do?
I mean, what did I do?
Yeah, what did you do after that?
I sat around for a year. I wrote 3 feature-length screenplays.
Oh, wow.
And then realized that they were never going to go anywhere because I wasn't going to move to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And then my money ran out, and I was on food stamps. And I went to... Yeah. And this is before you had your little card.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, you had actual food stamps. You go to the store, and you had food stamps. And I signed up with a temp agency, and next thing you know, I was working out at Nova in a cubicle.
Oh, okay.
And that was horrible. But I did it for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after that, I kind of ended up in retail management.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I had no work experience because my father gave me a small... We were in the nursery business in Central Florida. So when I was 15, he gave me a small piece of the property and one of the nursery buildings and basically cut me off. He said, you know, I'll buy food and stuff like that, but it's horses, your show horses and all that kind of stuff. And if you want a vehicle, you're going to have to get out here and work because I'm not paying for anything. So I'm basically on my own business when I was 15. But that property, I sold that property in the 80s. So I was getting some money from that every month. So I had that little money thing going on. But then that had run out by the time the Judy Batts thing stopped. So I was able to get through college in those years and not really have to work. So when it comes right down to it, I was 30-something years old and had never had a real full-time job. And I had no work experience.
Oh, wow.
can't
really
just put lead singer on a resume.
No, you can. You know, and you know, you're too old. I had a horse fall with me in a ditch, a big old stud horse that I was breaking. And how old was I? I think I was 32. And I was like, I am too old to still be doing this. So it's not like I could suddenly become a horse trainer.
Yeah.
So at 34. Yeah, so yeah, I was just there. I was with, like I said, no work experience whatsoever. Other than working part-time as a vet tech little person at Central Veterinary Hospital.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where I was.
What was the last, hit single for Judy Bass, or the last release that was notable for you guys?
Well, I guess, you know, the Being Simple was the pinnacle. That's the one that did the best.
Hearts cannot be broken. They're small, squishy things. They don't break like glass, but they bruise easily. This one you bruise. Words will not be spoken. Never knowing what they mean. Sticks and stones hurt my bones and promises.
And then we released that last CD, and there was a song on it called What We Lose. That got a little bit of play.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of play, but it still was played all over the country on the stations.
Yeah.
And that was really it. It was done.
And then what did you finally do to, say, reestablish, like, just a regular day or a work life? You went from the call center place to retail management and did different stores, or
I went to work for Storehouse as a salesperson. Well, I went delivery team for 3 months. Then I went on the floor in sales for 3 months, and I was the assistant manager after that, and manager a lot of the time during that period.
Okay.
And I've been in for various businesses. I've been in retail management.
And did you keep up a musical songwriting schedule of your own, or just
no?
Didn't
when
do
when I stopped
wrong?
The Judy Bats, I did not even allow myself to whistle or sing in the shower for years. Yeah, no, I was never ever going to make music again. I had no musical instruments. I had nothing. And then some years passed, and I just suddenly got back into it. And like even now, you know, I guess that's been about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I bought a guitar and bought a guitar, a book, which is still at my house that I never opened. And I just taught myself all these chord progressions.
Yeah.
Now I write songs and have no idea what I'm playing.
All right.
So
now it's not a job anymore. So.
No, it's a hobby.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. It's completely a hobby. And I actually, you know, the songs, the compositions, the way they're produced, I think what I'm doing now is so much better and so far beyond back then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like the way it sounds and everything. It shocks me that I'm even doing this now. And, you know, you have the whole gay aspect of it. That was a big deal for me, deciding that I was just going to write songs and just about whatever I wanted to write about.
Yeah.
That was huge. The first time I showed a couple of songs to Tim Lee, I actually had a panic attack.
Yeah.
He didn't notice it, but I did. Because it completely... Because that's what was the expectation. It was never talked about when I was on Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
The expectation is I was going to come out at some point and say that I was gay.
Yeah.
And I was never comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
Not then. It wasn't the time for me.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of times, you know, a lot of that stuff wasn't talked about. A lot of people, a lot of the fans, they could tell I was a gay dude.
but you didn't want to make that point of it at that time?
No, I didn't. I wasn't comfortable with that. I was never really comfortable being a lead singer anyway, being up there on stage. I don't know what would have happened if somebody had talked me into doing that.
Like if you'd gone in the solo, breakout solo career like some lead singers do or something
that? Yeah, or even just stayed with the same group and said I was a gay dude. I wouldn't have been comfortable with that back then.
Yeah.
And I know there was some there were some other lesser artists that kind of did that, but I wasn't comfortable with that. Yeah. And, you know, it just wasn't talked about that much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, was there ever a moment when you didn't know that Katie Lang was a damn lesbian? you know what I'm saying?
Wait, what now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, and then years pass and she came out and said she was a lesbian, and I'm like,
yeah.
Is this even happening? What are you talking about?
So, like
Ellen.
Yeah.
Oh, Ellen DeGeneres, back in the 80s, when she got her start on Women of the Night, this comedy show that came on.
Yeah.
I had two roommates then, Ed and I had Brenda, and she started her bit.
Two bats.
Hey!
Man. Just a shout out.
I can't remember his name. like when Ellen was first doing that show, and Brenda had gone to the bathroom, and I yelled down the hall, I said, Brenda, come in here, this lesbian's really funny. That was in like 1988. And, you know, then the whole thing in that show, and she comes out and says she's a lesbian. Like, what is going on with the world?
Yeah.
Are there really people that are that stupid and out of touch? Yeah. But I wasn't comfortable with that then. And that's been a nice thing here, is that I really feel like I can write about whatever I want to.
So in your songs now, you don't hold back from any thought of of delivering it from the gay man's perspective?
No, whatsoever. And some of it's kind of trashy. It's fine.
Which would be a trashy one?
Well, On the Down Low is about having an ongoing sexual only thing with a married man that's married to a woman.
Yeah.
So that's what that's about.
To go down some song titles, there's On the Down Low, Trash Can Romeo, Dirty Unicorn. Not to make this sound like it's all the dirt. I was telling you Alexander Bear 69 struck us as pretty funny, just knowing the whole the mix of the bear community, but then also obviously an online pseudonym.
As of now, within 5 days of that being released, he changed his name on Instagram.
Oh, that's right.
And he's even changed it again now. Mm-hmm. And I think he has paid someone to take a lot of those images off the computer. But he does have a page under his name, kind of, that has some stuff on it, but not some of that stuff that was on that
risque stuff.
Alexander Bear 69. It was just ass all the time.
Evermore.
what that song is about. It's about his like giant muscle butt. It's like, who has a butt like that?
Elvis, right?
No, it was like the, it's like a Kardashian butt on a 300-pound muscle dude. And that's how I was like,
how could you not write a song?
Well, I was sitting there drunk, like playing the guitar, and I started going, Alexander Bear, 69. And I'm like, oh my God, I have got to write a song about that dude's butt. That's what it's about.
I wonder if it's one of the first rock songs about some guy's butt. Surely there have been others, but maybe more metaphorically. But.
Yeah, it may be.
So this is, your third release as high school? Fourth. Okay. Because you did something under the Judy Betts name in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then...
Yeah, that was funded
Dottos
by...
Club.
That was founded by someone... Funded by someone. I have a lone copy of that CD left, and it has been sitting on a dresser in my second bedroom for a year. It is not available anywhere.
Yeah.
And at some point in the next 6 months, I'm finally going to release it digitally.
Okay.
Yeah, just hadn't gotten around to it. And there's things about it I don't like, but there's some things that I really like. There's three songs on there that are really, really solid that I like a lot.
And that was an entirely different band from the old days.
It was. It was the only Judy Betts thing about it was me.
Yeah.
That was it.
Now, you got together with, say, Johnny Shugru in some other format. Was that Doubters Club, or was that another version of high school?
No, Johnny was actually... Johnny went out with us some when we were calling it the Judy Betts, and the Harolds were with us.
Okay.
He went out with us playing the bass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you see yourself in the mix of it all? You see yourself back on the local scene?
I've come back around now, and I feel very much a part of the local scene. What I like is I feel very comfortable now that I have no interest in playing live, and I'm not going to play any live shows because I don't want
really?
To. No.
Yeah,
just I don't want to. I've been over and over it with Wayne.
With Bledsoe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, I have no interest in that. I mean, why would you do that? Considering the money that's involved, which is none, considering all the time you have to practice, and then you drag all that stuff in and drag it upstairs to play for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see if you were practicing and you thought you were going to make... You were going to run around the South for 2 weeks and make $500 a night to split between five people and play 15 or 20 shows. But to do all that, to play one show every 6 months?
Yeah.
I mean, there's other things I could be doing,
yeah,
like writing and recording music, which is what I really enjoy doing. And I'm kind of tired of me lately, so...
You're tired of you?
Yes. After this last thing, there's so many emotional songs on this thing. Something I thought I would never do is recording some covers of songs I've always wanted to do versions of.
Yeah, that's what you've been up to lately. Mm-hmm. You've been posting about that.
Yeah, we've got four done. We got another. We're going to do Just Walk Away, Renee. We've done an Ode to Billy Joe. We've done a really lo-fi, creepy, depressing version of The Beatles Yesterday. We've done a rocked-out version of Thousand Miles from Nowhere by Dwight Yoakam. And then we just finished Live to Tell by Madonna. And I think we're going to... Just Walk Away, Renee, is going to be the next one that we do.
All right.
Unless we do The Partridge Family, I Think I Love You. Or... I can hear your heartbeat. I can feel your heartbeat. Whatever that one was.
Yeah.
That one's a real strong contender as well.
I had a great time talking with Jeff Heiskell there on the Barley's Patio. And I hope you guys enjoyed listening to the tales of Judy Betts and his new album, Songs in the Key of H. We dropped a lot of names in that interview, and I thought I would run down a few of them. We mentioned some Judy Betts members. Judy Betts included guitarists Johnny Shugru and Ed Winters, keyboardist Peggy Hambright, bass player Tim Stutz, and drummer Terry Casper. Now, that was the original lineup, and then over the years, members included Kevin Jarvis, Paul Noy, Dave Jenkins, Doug Harrell, Mike Harrell, Reed Pendleton, and Rob Bell. Along the way, we also mentioned a couple of Knoxville impresario names, concert showrunner Mark Arnold and longtime Knoxville music writer and radio show host Wayne Bledsoe. And I am Randall Brown. I've been guest hosting the last couple of episodes. It's been fun. I don't have any of the cover tunes Jeff Heiskell was talking about that he's been working on, but I do have this classic from the Judy Batts days. Here's a little Bee Gees Jive Talkin' to play us out.
Ass all the time.